What if I told you that you were closer than you think? The life that you want, the amount of money that you want to make, the lifestyle and abundance that you want to surround yourself with, whether that's in your business, in your relationships, or in all different areas of your life. What if I told you that you are only this far away? This is actually the length and the difference between what goes on in here. And in today's episode, we're gonna deep dive into your brain, into your mind. And I have no other than the guests to be able to bring us all together, because in this episode, we talked so much about setting your financial set point, setting your set points for how you look at business and how you look at different areas of your life, and how you're gonna be able to go out and execute, not just on your dreams, but to be able to live your dreams and go well beyond that. It's all being able to tap into the power of your brain. And my guest is no other than John Assaraf. John Assaraf is one of the leading mindset and behavioral experts in the world. He's appeared numerous times on Larry King Live, Anderson Cooper, and even the Ellen DeGeneres Show. He has been in 8 movies, including one of my personal favorites, The Secret, and has built 5 multi-million dollar companies, written 2 New York best-selling books, and he is the founder and CEO of a company called NeuralGym, where they are dedicated to figuring out and giving you the tools and the evidence-based trainings to help you map out the best ways to train and rewire your neural pathways. It is an amazing conversation, and I'm super excited to be able to share this conversation with you. So I'm not going to hold you back any further. Here is the interview with John Assaraf.
This is the podcast for people that believe they do not need to change the world. We believe it's all about becoming the most effective version of yourself in the moments in life that matter the most. This is
the Inner Changemaker Podcast. Instead of changing the world, change their world. John Assaraf, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on your show.
Yeah, well, it's an absolute honor. I know we were riffing tons before, you know, pressing record. And, you know, let's start off this way, because I was telling you, you know, some of the impact that you've had just on my life and starting my business. But I know when I said to my community, hey, we have John Assaraf coming on, right? People are saying, oh, the neural pathway guy, the brain guy, right? And it's like, yeah, that guy. And, you know, some people remember all sorts of stories and examples that you have, but I'm just curious to hear it from you, because I think it's rare, actually, that people have had the level of success that you've had, and especially so many different, you know, industries. And I really consider you a true master, you know, of not just someone who talks about personal development, right? But someone who executed in a lot of areas in their lives and in the different businesses that you've been a part of. So how does it feel for you? Just kind of curious, when you hear accolades like that, when, you know, I know you don't necessarily care about the numbers per se, but like when you know that you've made such, like your work has made such a great impact with hundreds and thousands of people around the world.
I think there's a part of my brain that's in a bit of disbelief. And I think, you know, I still, there's something called the imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And the imposter syndrome is a lot of very successful people, when they reach different levels of success, they almost feel like, did I really do that? Or was that an imposter? And so first and foremost, I think the greatest joy for me is to somehow, you know, help another human being and make their life a little bit easier to live. And in doing that, I feel like my life has purpose and meaning. And that's a long, far, far, far away place from where I was, you know, 38 years ago, when I was getting in trouble with the law, when I left high school in grade 11, I was doing illegal things. I felt so insecure and so worthless. And it was because of personal development, it was because of mentors and books and courses that I was blessed to have attended and to have them put in front of me, that my mindset shifted. And it seems like it was just yesterday, but there's still that little voice in my head as I set bigger goals and different goals and goals I don't know how to achieve, you know, where I go like, are you smart enough to do that? Are you good enough to do that? Are you skilled enough to do that? The difference today is I know where that little voice comes from, and it's perfectly okay. And it's just a natural part of how our brain works. And so a lot of people try to squash that little voice, and I don't. I just say thank you, and I can explain why afterwards.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, first of all, I already love the energy that's back and forth over here. So I think our audience, and even as we're recording, I think this is going to be something really special, because I think so many people can resonate with that. So many people have thoughts of, am I good enough? You know, and it comes from all sorts of different variations. And so many people understand what it feels like to have a bit of fear or a lot of fear, you know, or just, you know, having that anxiety of like getting into the game. But let's take it back a little bit, because I'm kind of curious, you being so, like, having had so much success and, you know, in all the different projects that you've been a part of, whether it's, you know, different movies or, you know, in real estate, and especially now with, you know, all the work that you're doing at NeuroGym. But before we even talk about the brain and, like, you know, neural pathways there, were you always like super into personal development? Like you mentioned, like you got introduced to it. Like, who introduced you? Like, what was your life before personal development?
Sure. So I was always athletic. And when I was in high school specifically, you know, I had really good coaches talking about, you know, the need for repetition. Repetition was the mother of skill, and you've got to stay focused on, you know, I played basketball and hockey and baseball, and every coach focused on what's the outcome that you want. Like, you got to stay focused on the outcome. You've got to let failures move fast, but learn from them. So at a young age, just being in athletics, I learned that. But I also liked chess. And my chess teachers used to teach me that you're going to make a lot of mistakes as you're learning the patterns. Mm. And so as you're failing or learning the mistakes that you made because somebody just beat you, what errors did you make in the pattern, in either not recognizing what the opponent was setting up or not thinking through a few moves forward with where your pieces needed to be on the board? And so a combination of sports and a combination of chess really helped me early on, 13 to 18, 19. And then I was between the age of 13 and 18, I got into a lot of trouble, even though I had wonderful, you know, mother and father, no money, always a lot of debt, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. I had love. And so I had food over my, you know, I had, you know, shelter, food, clothing, went to public schools, didn't do well in school, left high school in grade 11, and got into working at a computer shipping department for Philips Electronics, making about $2.65 an hour. And hated it. And my brother introduced me to a man that was in real estate, a real estate developer, and had real estate offices. And I had lunch with this one man. His name is Alan Brown. And this one man asked me a whole bunch of questions of why I was getting in trouble and why wasn't I making more money and why was I, you know, consistently disappointing myself and my parents and getting in trouble with the law. And I said, I don't know. Like, he says, but you know that, you know, you shouldn't be doing those things. I said, yeah, I know that. He says, then why are you doing it? And I said, I don't know. I just wanted a little bit of money in my pocket and I wanted to feel good about myself. And I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know why I was really doing it. And he was the first one to say, well, there must be a mismatch between, you know, consciously who you think you are and subconsciously who you think you are. And there must be a disconnect. And that was the first time I ever heard, you know, consciously and subconsciously. I never learned that in school. And he started to talk to me and teach me a little bit about mindset. And what he made, what he said made a lot of sense to me. And, you know, he was a very, very successful individual, not just financially, but in every area of his life. He was a father of two kids, happily married, traveled the world, you know, did charitable things, gave money. It was super healthy. I was like, wow, this guy's, you know, like an idol. And, you know, he asked me what my goals were for my life. And at the time, again, this was May of 1980. I remember the dates, you know, when it was. At the time, I had goals. I want to buy my first car. I didn't have my own car. I want to get my own apartment. I'm still living at home with my parents. And I wanted to, you know, go out and have fun. And he said, okay, that's all your basic necessities, you know, just for some security. But what do you want beyond that? And the answer was, I had no idea. And so he gave me these goal-setting documents, probably about 30 pages. And it said, you know, what do you want to achieve in health, wealth, relationships, career, business, fun, and experiences, charity in 1 year, in 3 years, in 5 years, in 20 years, in 30 years? I'm like, what the fuck? I had no idea. You know, it's like...
It covered all the bases, right?
Yeah, and I had zero vision for my life. I had zero goals beyond, you know, survival at that time. And he sent me home after the first meeting with these documents. He said, do me a favor. He said, in order for us to have a really meaningful discussion, why don't you go fill this out? And so I went home and it asked me all these, you know, questions. And I just sat there and I took out of my head, you know, things that, you know, I want to make $3 million by the time I'm 45, which was 26 years later. I want to retire at 45 with $3 million. I want to travel the world. I want a Mercedes car. I want a beautiful home. I want to retire my parents. I want to, you know, have a six pack and all these things. I just listed all this stuff out. Came back, met up with him again. And he looked at me and says, this is great. Where'd you get most of these ideas? I said, well, I love watching the TV show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. So all of the materialistic things you see, I've seen it on, you know, on the TV show. The good-looking right. people, in shape, lots of money, cars, jets, yachts, etc. I said, I want that lifestyle.
Right.
And he says, great. He says, let me ask you a question, and the answer to this question will determine whether you'll achieve it or you won't. I'm like, one question? Yeah, bring it
yeah.
on. I
said. Yeah, what's the question?
He said, are you interested in achieving these things or are you committed? And I was sitting down, he was standing above me, looking at me, and I looked up at him, I said, Mr. Brown, what's the difference? And he said to me, he says, young man, he says, if you're interested, you'll do what's convenient. You'll come up with stories and excuses and reasons why you can't achieve those goals. It says, when things get tough, you'll quit. When you need to upgrade your knowledge and skills to match the level of the goal, you'll go and drink at the bar instead and hang out with your friends. He said, but if you're committed, you'll do whatever it takes, period. No stories, no excuses, no reasons, and you will just be committed. Holy shit. I was like, wow, that's pretty strong, you know, difference. And so he says, so are you interested? Are you committed? And I looked at the goal documents. I said, Mr. Brown, I'm committed. He reached out his hand to me. He says, great. In that case, I'll be your first mentor and coach.
Wow.
Now this man at the time was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I was a peon that didn't even, you know, go to college. Never knew him from a hole in the wall. And he says, the only criteria, actually I have two criteria. Number one is you have to move from Montreal to Toronto, which was 350 miles away. I didn't know anybody in Toronto except my brother who just moved there. He says, and you have to go take your real estate license and pass the test. I'm like, pass the test? Holy shit. I got out of high school by cheating on the final test. I'm not really that smart. And so he said, well, you're going to have to bust your ass and be committed. So the reason I shared with you earlier that it was May 1980 was because I went back to Montreal, packed up my bags, quit my job at Philips Electronics, told my parents I'm moving out of the house, I'm moving to Toronto with no job, no money, zero, no connections other than my brother and now this man, Alan Brown. And on May 5th, 1980, he enrolled me into the real estate course in Toronto. And on June 20th, 1980, basically 6 weeks after I enrolled, I passed the real estate test on my own. And it was so fucking proud of the feeling that I had that my life changed in an instant by saying I was committed.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's there's a lot. There's so many different layers of that, because I think a lot of individuals, they want to at some point do their own version of that. You know, maybe find a mentor, but also really just bet on themselves, right? Take a leap in what is it that they want to be able to do. So what those go, I mean, that process, we've had so many countless people come on the show. And one of the most consistent things that I think I've heard is that when they have their goals and they have their things right around them every single day so that they could see it, you know, and they can tap into it. And I know you got some amazing, you know, mm-hmm. tools. So how did you leverage those goals, especially even early on, to be able to kind of start building the foundation of what your life looks like now?
So first and foremost, you know, once I had those goals, then I created a refined version of those goals. I had to go and get my real estate license. I didn't know anything about real estate, the legalities of real estate, selling, marketing. I had no idea, zero experience. But I made a commitment to learning for at least 1 hour a day. Mr. Brown said to me, he said, if I'll invest 1 hour a day upgrading my knowledge and skills, at the end of a year, I'd have 9 40-hour weeks of extra skills. 9 40-hour weeks is over 2 months of skills. He said, at the end of 1 year, you know, you'll have a solid foundation. But if you keep doing an hour a day, after year two, after year three, after year four, after year five, you're going to become an expert at something. And so in my first year of selling on commission only, cold calling, I made $31,000, which was great. My father only made $25,000 as a cab driver. I made $31,000, which was $6,000 more than my dad, my first year out of the gate. And I worked a lot of hours, you know, 8:30 till 8:30, 7 days a week. And then the second year, by upgrading my knowledge and skills, that whole first year, I made $150,000. That was my end on a 50-50 split. I was 21 years young. I had no idea that you could earn $151,000, but I had made a goal that I wanted to become a millionaire before I was 30. Mm. And every day, I would look at my goals. Every day, I would do something that we now teach today in my company, Neurogym, called cognitive priming. I would prime my brain every day by looking at and reading my goals and running my fingers on my goals every day with my right hand, with my left hand. So I would send the signal from my hands to my brain to create a subconscious image of those goals. And the reason I did that is he taught me that you want to impregnate your goals into your subconscious mind, not your conscious mind. And so not only did I read them, not only did I put my fingers across them, I recorded them and listened to them every single day. And so now I had some Mozart music in the background that I created, because I heard that Baroque music and Baroque sound waves are really good for the subconscious mind. So I would read it, I would emotionalize it, I would visualize it, I would listen to it, and I just impregnated my brain with, you know, what he called what you want to trade your life for. So every one of my goals for health, wealth, relationships, career, business, I took the time to say, what do I want my life to be like? And then I invested my time to impregnate it, not just, you know, on some kind of a piece of paper, but something that I would impregnate in my brain. The reason I showed you this is I have something called the Exceptional Life Blueprint. This is about, let me see, about 25 pages of my life, my goals. I have my vision board, you know, on the front. You know, I look at this every single day. Still to this day, 38 years later, I still do it and then some.
I love that. I mean, consistency. I love the languaging too. Impregnate the subconscious. I mean, oh man, so much, so many goodies. And I love, you guys hit all the senses, right? You would feel them. You really would visualize yourself being there, you know, read them. So you would just repeat your goals, like essentially just record yourself.
I would record them.
It's kind of like podcasting before podcasting.
Oh yeah. I would have my little cassette player before, you know, your iPhone that you can
use. Right.
You know, and I just record myself reading the goals. I'd read it. I'd close my eyes. I'd feel it. I'd imagine it. I didn't at that time have pictures, but if you take a look at, you know, one of my pages has, you know, just the way I like to dress, high fashion. It has my favorite number, my favorite color, my two power animals. I have a scent. Lemon is my power scent for clarity, focus, and let's get after it. So in my office, just over there, I've got my little automizer with different scents that I can use. You are right. I activate as many senses as possible. And we'll talk about the neuroscience of why.
I really want to get there because, you know, you mentioned, right, impregnating the subconscious mind and communicating with the subconscious rather than the conscious, you know, and that brings up a couple different things. One being that I feel like people understand conscious goal setting, right? But yet there's tons of people that are not living the life that they want, right? So tell us a little bit about because your book, Inner Size, right? Yeah. And I know it's very tied closely with, the work that you guys are doing at NeuroGym.
Yeah.
When did your focus kind of shift over to just like the brain neuropathway? Because that's obviously been a huge obsession of yours and very, you know, something that made an impact for me massively.
Sure. Well, I started the journey 38 years ago. I started to learn about, setting goals, creating plans, you know, visualizing, emotionalizing. And so for 38 years, I've been on the path to understanding performance, to understanding emotions, to understanding feelings, sensations, beliefs, habits, fears, and what causes results. So I look at results. Results are effects, right? You know, and so I don't study effects. I study cause. And so I want to understand what's causing me to take action or not. What's causing this fear? What's causing me to procrastinate? What's causing me to sabotage my success? What's causing me to have excuses? What's causing this story? I want to know cause. And if I can understand cause and change that, then effects take care of themselves. And so when I started to train my brain when I was, 19 years old to go from I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not skilled, I don't have the knowledge, and I had a negative self-image and disempowering self-image and disempowering habits and a disempowering self-concept about what I could achieve, I started to achieve results. So that was phase one, 1980, 1986. 1987, I bought my first company. So I bought RE/MAX of Indiana. So I was an agent for RE/MAX. The Indiana state became available, and I started to use everything that I learned to build RE/MAX of Indiana. And in the first 3 years, I went from zero, I mean zero, one office, me, zero. I went to $1 billion in sales in 3 years.
Wow.
And then we got stuck. We got stuck. I opened up about 23 offices, or maybe I think 8 offices the first year, like 8 offices the second year, maybe another 15 offices the next year. And we were in hyper growth. But we got stuck in 1992, maybe 5 years later, $1.2 billion. And I said, why are we stuck? There's so much potential here. Mm. And so what I did is I went back to my salespeople. At the time, I think I had about 600 or 700 of them. I said, hey, listen, who's interested in doubling or triple their income in the next year? And I know a whole bunch of people put their hands up. I said, great. Those of you who are really committed, I'll coach you for 6 months, but you have to pay $3,000 for me to put the environment in place of the other teachers and infrastructure in place to teach you and keep you accountable. And so 75 agents out of about 700 says, we're in. Put their money up, and we help them work on the inner game, all of the subconscious programming to elevate their self-esteem, self-worth, their financial set point, their fear centers, et cetera. We worked on the inner game, and those 75 people increased our sales by $100 $100 million.
Whoa.
$100 million.
Yeah.
In 6 months, above what they did the year before. So it wasn't $100 million. It was above what they did before. And those people made 3 times more money on average than they had the year before over that 12-month period of time. So I took everything we taught them, and we started to teach all of our other agents the same stuff. And our sales went from 1.2 million to 4.5, I'm sorry, 1.2 billion to 4.5 billion. The average income of my sales associates went from $38,000 to $128,000 within 4 years, through the roof in Indiana. And so I knew this stuff works. It just didn't work for me. And the stuff that we did back then is like, you know, it's like old, old cell phone technology. And so, you know, from RE/MAX, you know, I built that company, then hired somebody. I built it for 10 years and I hired somebody to run it for me for 10 years. And then I went off and I did other business ventures and, you know, and then built bamboo.com to, we took it public on month 9 on NASDAQ and grew from idea to 1,500 employees in 14 months. I mean, hyper growth.
Yeah.
Crazy hyper growth.
And obviously I think a lot of this comes from having that strong foundation. You know, yeah. Like I love that you took, you know, the foundational things that you use, right? Applying it to all the senses and being able to apply it and raise the level of income for the salespeople. I think that's absolutely amazing. You mentioned one thing that you said, the financial set point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so tell us a little bit about that, because I feel like people have different set points and I'd love to dive into that. Hey, Changemakers, are you enjoying the episode so far? Now, before we go a bit deeper, I gotta ask, have you been thinking of leveraging podcasts to grow your business? Not sure maybe where to start or scared of wasting time on the wrong things? Well, let me be your guide as I show you the right sequences and steps to be able to launch your very own top-rated show on iTunes, as well as leverage the podcast and your show to build your business. Don't you think it's time that you put a voice behind your products and services? If you were drawn to this show, then I know that it's time that you got working to share your message with the world. Get my podcast creation roadmap for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Now back to the episode.
So when we talk about financial set points, I mean, we're going to start getting into the brain, right? And so the way that our brain works is the part of our brain, you know, called the left prefrontal cortex. And that's like the CEO, the executive director of our brain, which chooses what we want. But that's not what drives our behavior or our perception and our perspective or our paradigms. So over the course of our lifetime, we'll level out a certain income, whether it's 30,000, 50,000, 100,000, 250,000, 500,000, doesn't really matter. As we're developing the mindset, the emotions, and the skills to get to that level, everybody knows we get conditioned, right? We get conditioned by our parents, our teachers, our experiences, et cetera. And no differently than a thermostat that's set at a certain temperature, anytime a deviation in a room with cold air or hot air comes in, the sensor on the thermostat notices that there's a change, and it sets a message through the electrical system to either turn on the air or turn on the heat. That's called a cybernetic mechanism. Well, we all have a cybernetic mechanism for how much we weigh, the relationship that we're in, how much we earn, the business gross revenues or net revenues that we've got to. So we develop these set points, and most people don't realize that the average human being makes incremental gains instead of exponential gains. And the reason for that has nothing to do with knowledge or skill. It has everything to do with their set point in their brain. And so we develop a set point. And then anytime we try to really work hard towards making more, we might make more for a day, a week, a month or two, but then we'll sabotage and get back to our baseline. not because we can't. It's just because at our subconscious level is programmed or conditioned for this amount from a financial perspective. It's the exact same reason why, this is an actual fact, 99.5% of people who go on a diet gain all the weight back within 1 to 3 years.
Right.
Or, that's called the yo-yo syndrome.
Right. And then there's also been all the different case studies of people that win, like, let's say a lottery, right?
Correct. 87%.
Which is insane, right? Like, but it's because they never, right? It's the same adage of like, if you don't save money, well, I'm just taking saving money as an example. It's like, if you can't save right now with the level of income, you didn't build that habit. So you're,
that's correct.
You will not be able to do it when you're 10X or 20X or however many X down the line.
That's exactly right. And so now we know there's a part of the brain, it's part of the deep limbic structure called the striatum. And so when we talk about habits, whether they're habits, you know, thought habits, emotional habits, behavioral habits, saving habits, spending habits, income earning habits, it's a group of habits that involve thought, emotions, and behavior. And once those habits are ingrained, now we're not dealing with, you know, making a conscious choice anymore. Now we're dealing with having to change a habitual neural network and pattern that's been reinforced tens or hundreds or millions of times. So depending on how old you are.
So could you just say that again? Because I think people really need to understand this, guy. I love what you're talking about, the thoughts, emotions, and the behaviors.
So if you think about what is a habit, right? What is a habit, right? It's a formation of thoughts, emotions, and behaviors that formulate a pattern in the brain, a neural network in the brain. There's nobody who's watching us right now that was born with one habit. There's nobody who's watching us right now that was born with one belief. Mm. There's nobody who's born with a perspective on anything. We were born with 85 billion brain cells, actually 100 that got pruned down to 85 billion. And those billions of brain cells make neural connections. So every time you hear something, see something, smell something, taste something, do something, those neurons fire and wire together. So there's a saying in the neuropsychology field, the neurons that fire together wire together. And then the neurons that you wire together and you repeat over and over and over again become your habits. Mm. And so once a habit is set in the subconscious mind, then it runs automatically, becomes part of the default mode network of the brain, or it's something known as the automatic self. And even though you might say, you know, I want to stop this or I want to start this, and using your conscious brain to do that, your subconscious goes, yeah, you may want to, but you've spent so many hours developing and reinforcing this. Until you spend as many hours deleting this program and creating a new one, I'm running this program to conserve energy and to keep you in your comfort zone, just like a thermostat does.
Okay, so this is
a lot here.
Yeah, this is so, and I hope people that are watching this right now and they're listening, you know, one, go pick up a copy of Inner Size. We'll get into, we have all the links, you know, down below already. But you guys really need to be paying attention to this, because if you look at all the different areas of your life, right, is it fair to say that there's a set, you know, almost like a set point for happiness, right? Set point for relationships, set point for finances. And I remember I saw you speak at Thrive a couple of years ago, and you had this amazing example. I still use it today with some of our students and clients. And it's the simple example of wanting to start working out, which everybody resonates with, right? New year, and people are wanting to work out. And you said, instead of saying like the goal is like go to the gym 3 times or 5 times or whatever the goal is, right? Or put on 10 pounds of muscle, which, you know, people, you know, want to do. You should get on the floor and do push-ups right now. And you were saying that in the sense of like, you need to tell yourself to work out and to be able to do it. And so you're building up like the first little neural pathway of saying, hey, I told myself I'm going to do something. And then I went and I did it.
Yeah.
So you could start building on that. How do people apply that in all different areas?
Well, first understanding, like, and this is why I'm so into the brain, right? We never had the user's manual for the brain. And one of the reasons I wrote my book, Inner Size, is to give people the understanding of your brain's an organism. And there are certain principles, a hierarchy of how it operates. So I'll give you an example. Number one guiding principle of the brain is safety above all else. Safety, right? So what kind of safety? Well, safety for your life, of course, right? So it's wired for safety. Automatic, you don't have to think about it. It triggers something in the brain called the amygdala, the emotional response center in the brain, which fires up epinephrine, cortisol, and norepinephrine into your system to get you to freaking run away from a saber-toothed tiger or jump back from, you know, a car that you barely saw is coming your way. So it has some pretty amazing built-in technologies, you know, to keep you safe, number one, for life. But here's the other thing that most people don't understand. Anytime you have a goal that takes you out of your current comfort zone, your brain perceives that as potential danger. Now, what kind of danger? Well, what if you go after your goal and you fail and you're embarrassed? That's emotional pain.
Right.
What if you're judged or ridiculed, you know? And so whenever your brain perceives that there's real or imagined danger, the first thing it does is put on the brakes. So for the average untrained person, they put on their brakes and they rationalize why they're putting on their brakes and why they're procrastinating. And they go off and do something else instead of going, wow, thank you, brain. You're trying to protect me, aren't you? Yeah. This emotion, the energy in motion that's causing me to put on my brakes and take my foot off the gas is just there to protect me just in case. Now, what if you could learn a process to be aware of emotions? There's six core emotions and there's sub-emotions which cause feelings. Mm. Emotions are subconscious. Feelings are conscious. So when most people feel vulnerable, they stop, they move away. When most people feel that there's a potential for emotional, mental, physical, financial pain, they're like, oh, no, let me walk away. And they don't do it as the way I'm speaking about it. I'm sharing you with the behavior. It's subconscious. It's so subtle. They just keep procrastinating over and over again. They don't realize that these automatic processes are there to protect them, but they can learn how to recognize them, reframe them, release them, and retrain their brain not to allow it to stop them. But in the absence of skill, they run away. They sabotage. They procrastinate. Mm. And it's not because they're not smart or because they don't have goals. They don't have, you know, they don't know what they want. It's because something deeper in their brain is triggering, okay, the sympathetic nervous system in the brain. And these are all automatic processes. I mean, you think about, you know, how long has this been evolving? Oh my goodness, we have this most powerful tool in the known universe with zero manual, okay, of how to use it. And the reason I created Inner Size is to give people the mental and emotional techniques to use their brain better to help them achieve their goals faster and easier. Not fast and easy, faster and easier than without having the user's manual. And so I learned the beginnings of this 38 years ago, and I invest time in, like, an athlete practices every day, a musician practices, I practice every day.
Yeah.
I practice honing my skill, a martial artist practices. You know, martial artists, and you may have heard of this, you know, the master martial artist says, you know, I'm not worried about the person who's done, you know, 10,000 moves one time. I'm worried about the person who's done one move 10,000 times. Yeah. So I want to teach people some of the core moves, the techniques that practiced gives them power, gives them confidence, gives them certainty, gives them self-esteem, and gives them absolute control over their lives.
Yeah. And once again, we're going to link to, I know that you guys have some really cool bonuses for people, you know, that maybe want to share this within their groups and their businesses.
Thank you.
Let's, before we, cause there is some other things that I want to get to. Let's just say financial set point, for example. Mm-hmm. I can imagine most people that are listening or watching this, they would think, okay, well, like, what would be an example of like a first step or a second step that they could do to kind of take a look at where their own financial set point is at?
Great. So let's create a frame on how I want people to look at this. And everybody answer this question. Are you aware right now of one or two things that you could do, okay, to make more money? Are you aware of what you could do? And I would bet every single person, if they're honest, says, well, yeah, I know one or two things that I could do. So now let me ask you a different question. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't I doing it? Well, let's go deeper now and say, okay, there's only one of three or four reasons why you're not doing it. And then we'll address that. Okay, so remember I said to you that I want to focus on cause. So number one, you may know what to do, you have a goal, but you're not doing it or you're not doing it consistently. And so number one, it could be your self-image or self-worth. There may be a hidden block in the subconscious saying, you know, you really don't feel you deserve to achieve it. You don't feel you're worth achieving that goal. And so you don't. That's part one. Self-image, self-worth, self-esteem. And maybe you have an issue with that. Maybe you don't. Number two, maybe you have fears. Well, what kind of fears? There's over 50 different fears that hold people back. So let's say you have a fear, conscious or subconscious, of failing, right? So I have a fear of failure. What if you have a fear of success, succeeding and then failing? What if you have a fear of disappointing yourself or your girlfriend or boyfriend or brother or sister or mother and father if you try and fail? What if you have a fear of being embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, or judged? Those are just, you know, about seven that I gave you right now. If you have a fear, whether you know it or you don't, okay, and you're not doing what you should be doing, you have to get rid of that fear so that you take action consistently. So we've dealt with fears and self-image, self-esteem. Let's talk about limiting beliefs. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not fill in the blank. What's a limiting belief that could be holding you back? Okay. So those three things will account for about 90% of why people won't take action. And some of them you're aware of and some of them you are not. The other 10%, when we're talking about money, is something we call the hidden money story. Every single person has a money story. It is one of the biggest, longest standing relationships we have ever had about money. And so every decision we make, what kind of shoes we buy, what kind of car we buy, what kind of airline tickets we buy, what kind of train tickets we buy, do we buy in the back of the flight or in the front of the flight? What kind of tip we leave, what kind of food we buy in restaurants? Every decision you make is based on your hidden money story. So if you have a hidden money story that's disempowering, that money is limited, and you don't understand the laws of compensation around money, your hidden money story may be holding you back, even though you want to make more of it. And so all of these hidden money stories based on what our parents' lives were like, how they valued money, how they made decisions around money, what we learned as children around money in the imprinting years, the modeling years, and the socialization years, all of that formulates subconscious patterns that override conscious desires.
Yeah. It's almost like taking a look at all the stories, right?
Of course.
That you tell yourself, right? Because all of those scenarios, you have a story around how you tip. Or how you
have a story. You have a story and references and experiences to make that story your reality. Mm. So first and foremost, we don't see the world as we are. Or we don't see the world as it is. Excuse me. We see the world as we are. We're in essence projecting, okay, onto the world our beliefs, our fears, and our story. So the canvas is blank and we're projecting out, you know, our story. So when you start to, when you want to make more money, for example, you want to live a certain lifestyle, why not take 30 minutes today, not tomorrow, today, before you go to bed today, all right? So by doing it today, you teach yourself, you can give yourself a command and you do it. You build confidence, certainty, self-esteem, self-worth. There's 20 different things that you're actually empowering yourself when you do it now, as opposed to saying, oh, that was a really great interview with Jay and John Ashraf. You know, I'll come back and listen to it. Bullshit. You know, you'll come back and you'll make money later. You'll come back and do stuff later. No, now. Develop this urgency in your life of, I'm an action taker. When I hear something that I believe or feel it works, I take action now. You develop that belief. So that's number one. What if you invested some time and you did something that I'll show you. I'll show you a great little tool. I have something here called The Story of My Life. And I'll read it to you. I'm not embarrassed by it. So it's two pages that I've taken. And I read this 2-3 times a day. And it's to impress into the subconscious mind again, what is it that I want it to focus on? How do I reset the setting? First, I create this like a New York playwright. I create the script, and then I take the script and I get into my brain so my brain can help me focus on it every single day. I could reset my own financial set point by resetting it in my recesses of my brain first. So, you know, mine is all around the company I'm building, my body, my fat percentage, my business, my income, my charity, my family. Everything's written right over here. And so what if every day, if you want to make more money, I'll give you a simple technique. I want you to write this out exactly as I'm going to share with you. I'm so happy and grateful for the fact that I am now earning blank, blank. I'm so happy and grateful for the fact that I am now earning $500,000 a year, $1 million a year, and my net worth is blank. And I'm now happily giving 5%, 3%, 10%, you fill in the blank, to the charities that cause my heart to soar. And just write out a story. Just give me one or two paragraphs in the present moment. I'm happy. I'm so happy and grateful for the fact that. Now, why do I use those words? Grateful activates the emotional center of your brain, which makes you feel good and releases the neurochemistry of gratitude. Fact activates the logical parts of your brain because we love facts and we believe facts and we learned them in school. So we have associations to facts that if it's factual, then it's true. So emotion plus logical brain. And then if I add in the numbers that I want and I read it and I see myself achieving it and living that lifestyle over and over and over and over and over again, what I'm in essence doing is I'm erasing the neural pattern that exists today and overlaying a new neural pattern. Now, words are neural patterns. Neural patterns are X's and O's. Everything in the world is X's and O's, right? So when I take, you know, a paragraph or two and I read it, I visualize it, I emotionalize it, and I get fully engaged in what my life is going to be like when that's true. Even though there may be a little voice in your head that goes, but that's not true. You're not earning that much, but that's not true. You're not giving that to charity, but that's not true. Your business isn't doing that. You have to understand that the old patterns want to hold on, okay, because you've reinforced them for so many years. So go to a higher level of understanding, saying the part of my brain that wants to keep me stuck and comfortable is just doing its job. Override that voice and say, I know it's not that now, and this is what I'm creating right now, so hey, beautiful brain of mine, help me. So you can actually talk to yourself without being a psychopath, all right, and instruct your brain. You have a brain. You are not your brain. There is a thinker behind the thoughts. There is an observer that can observe thoughts and feelings and emotions and patterns. And you have to learn how to rise above it and manipulate your brain the same way that a software programmer creates programs that you use on your cell phones and computer.
Do you guys see why we had to have had John Assaraf, the no other, to literally just run through like almost a financial masterclass in your brain? So if you guys please go back, re-listen to that, but apply, right? Actually deploy it. Be the person that actually takes action on this.
And even if they take one action, just one thing, then I've taken just one thing consistently. The habit is more important than the intensity at first.
So good. So important too.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Just the act of getting in the game and doing it. Right. So, John, I want to be respectful of your time. Two more questions.
Sure.
I certainly wanted to spend some time on this, but, I got to know you, and I think some people probably remember seeing you for the first time when The Secret came out, And I'm curious because there's been all sorts of talks and, now you run a training company really around, the neural pathways in the brain. So why do you think that, is there a misconception about The Secret? Why do you think the people that want to believe in The Secret and they try to apply it, but they're not maybe seeing the results that they want?
Great question. So one of the things that I discovered is in The Secret, the premise was think, believe, and you'll achieve. Well, a lot of people who think and they have these, surface beliefs, I call them, or declarative beliefs, and they're not achieving. They're positive. They're happy. They're meditating. They're visualizing. They're emotionalizing, and they're freaking broke. And they're not living their dream life. In addition to the law of attraction, the first thing people forget is in the word attraction, the last six letters is action. And if you continue the law of attraction with the law of Goya, G-O-Y-A, you may remember this.
Yes. Right,
that's the get off your ass law and do the right things in the right order at the right time. Now, let me explain just a little bit. Yes, there is a non-physical world that we live in, the world of electrons, protons, muons, atoms, molecules, etc. And we don't see them with our physical eye, and we know they're there. And there's definitely, this total interaction between us, because we are nothing more than coalesced atoms, called a human, a sentient human. And so all we are vibrating packets of energy called quanta. So let's leave that alone for just a moment. And let's assume that, my thoughts matter, my emotions matter, they affect my energy field. Great, 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 great. But on planet Earth, if you want to earn more money, then you have to understand that money is nothing more than a means of exchange. Before we had the green paper with ink on it, we traded livestock. We traded, we gave people, we fixed their boots for them to fix our horses' hooves. We exchanged bread, for a piece of meat. Tribes exchanged, a lion kill for berries. So money, since the beginning of time, since the concept of money even came onto the scene, it was a means of exchange for value. So if you want more money on this planet, your job is to take your knowledge, your skill, your product, your service, your wisdom, and trade that with enough people to help you make the money that you want to make. So if you want to make $1 million, well, you can sell one thing to one person for $1 million, or you can sell 1 million people one thing for a penny, or a dollar each, excuse me. So in this means of exchange, you have to ask yourself, what are the behaviors that I have to take in order to take my company, my product, my service, and exchange it with enough people who want that? So that's your job. And every day you have to ask yourself, what knowledge do I need? What skill do I need? What contact do I need? What marketing do I need? What selling do I need to get in front of those people and to have a fair exchange? And if that's what you thought about every single day, that you're looking to have a way to give, somebody what they want, in return, they're going to give you what value you both agree it's worth. Wow. Okay. do that every day.
Yeah.
You want to make, you know, $1 billion? Great. I mean, what's your product? What's your service? What's your knowledge? What's your skill? Who needs it? How do I get in front of them? How do I create fair exchange with an amazing offer that they want to say yes to? And it's that easy. It's just that easy. Now, if you're not prepared to level up your knowledge, your skills, your strategies, your tactics, you will starve on planet Earth.
These are very important words. And I think you're right. I think it's just as easy and it's just as difficult as people could make it seem. But if they execute on any of these things, and I really encourage everyone to re-listen to this episode, because honestly, with just the content that John presented today, like literally almost, I know that there's other things that you want to be able to dive into, and you should, and you want to get, you know, some of the subconscious training, definitely check out NeuroGym. But honestly, there's enough here to get the ball rolling, and you know, we're so appreciative of it. So if you guys want to pick up any copies of the book, I think it's ignitemybrain.com, right, John? Yeah. And what, there's some packages that they could pick up as well.
Yeah, if you go to ignitemybrain.com, my book's already hit number one on Amazon in the psychology field. But I'm giving people, if they buy 1 to 4 copies, I'm giving them 8 brain training audios to retrain their brain worth $197, plus my exceptional life blueprint with a video on how to use it. This alone is worth, it's weighed in gold. You're going to get all of my goals and then some blank sheets to fill in yours, just like Alan Brown gave me this. This is 100 times more advanced than what he gave me. So you're going to get that just for buying the book for like $11 on Amazon, just one copy. If you buy 5 to 10, there's more gifts. If you buy, you know, more than that, then there's more gifts. So go to ignitemybrain.com and then go to Amazon. You'll buy your books and then come back and enter your receipt and you'll get access to all these goodies.
Yeah. Well, I have one last little question for you. But where can outside, before I ask that, where can people socially stalk you?
I'm on Instagram every day. So I post stuff on Instagram, on my John Asraf Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook fan page. And I do a training every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific for 30 minutes. It's part of my Achieve Even More series.
Nice.
And then I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I don't spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, but Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is where I spend most of our time with social.
Yeah, you got the big ones covered, and we're definitely going to link to all the social links down below, so you could kind of catch up on where John's at and how he's integrating some of these principles in your life. And honestly, really hope that you're taking action. And if you've gotten any value, any takeaway from this, which I was taking notes over here. Just like I have a couple pages of notes already. So I hope you let us know what are some of those takeaways from you. John, last question for you. The name of the show, Inner Changemaker. When you think of the word changemaker, what comes to mind for you? Any images or words, anything that comes to mind for you?
Deliberate conscious evolution is what comes up for me. When you are deliberate in making change, you are evolving yourself. And you know, let me share something with you and we'll have a little laugh. And the only human being that likes change is a wet baby. but change is the only constant in the universe. Nothing stays the same. Nothing ever rests. It appears to rest, but nothing stays the same. So when we're thinking about change maker, that means that you are taking the responsibility upon yourself to make the change happen. And that is actually stepping into your greatest power.
I love that. Okay, people, please go pick up a copy of Inner Size. John Asraf gracing us with his time, his presence on the show. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jay. What a joy.
Want to discover how you can begin to tap into your inner changemaker and become the leader for the important people around you? You can now grab a copy of my new audio training, How to Be the Leader You Truly Are, for free at
www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership. Inside the training, you will find my top three proven strategies from millionaires and billionaires that have been featured on the show. And by simply applying them, I was able to go from sleeping in my parents' living room to leading and running multiple successful businesses and began an endless journey of impacting those closest to me. You can do it too. Go to www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership to get your free copy now.